Hey everyone, welcome to Immigration on the Canadian Prairies, a podcast that will delve into what it's like to not only immigrate to one of our prairie provinces, but we will also explore what it means to work, live, and study in Western Canada. We will profile various communities, discover post-secondary education options, report on jobs that are high in demand, and of course, chat about what you need to know for living life on the prairies. If this sounds like something that sparks your interest, then stick around. I am your host, Lindsay Rubinek, and you are listening to Immigration on the Canadian Prairies podcast. Hey everyone, welcome back. I hope you're having an excellent day or enjoyable evening wherever you are in the world. I hope your day has brought you happiness and you're ready to learn a bit more about designing your plan to be an international student on the Canadian Prairies. And don't worry, my skilled workers, there's also content in here today that could help you on your journey to immigrating to Canada. All right. So as we all know, the Canadian schools have started their fall intake for the year of 2022. And so there is no time like the present to really start learning more about the process of becoming an international student, but as well as how to live abroad successfully as an international student. I will be the first to say that the international student process is not easy. It just isn't. But I can guarantee you that if you do your research, the journey will be a lot easier for you than it has been for others, or will be for others who do not do the research for themselves. So, in order to get my message across today, I feel it is best and easier if I provide a case example for us to follow, and you can visualize yourself going through this process with our student Paula. So, let's meet Paula. Paula is a 24-year-old from Bahia, Brazil, and Bahia is located in the state of Rio Grande do Sul. And she has worked in the field of childcare for a couple years, and now has decided she would like to expand her knowledge of the childcare field, and more specifically to learn about childcare education and how it operates in various sectors in another country. And with that in mind, she has chosen Canada. So Paula knows that she must meet with an educational agent, but before she does, she decides she wants to look up some questions to ask the agent about their agency and maybe a bit more about the schools they represent. So she Googles the internet and she finds these typical questions that she should ask. So she asks her agent, what colleges and universities do you represent? What is your history in terms of obtaining a successful visa? Do you provide assistance beyond obtaining a visa? Do you have branches in any other countries? And the list goes on. While these questions seem relevant, and of course they should be asked, this is by no means what you should be asking only. You should be asking a lot more questions to not only your educational recruitment officer or your agent, but you should also be sending out emails to the prospective colleges or universities that you are looking at and asking them questions as well. Because again, you are paying a lot of money for this university or college to teach you. And hopefully, if you would like, get some Canadian experience along the way and potentially immigrating. So beyond asking your agent those typical questions, here are some really great questions that you should consider asking your college or university before you register with them. And they are, what is the employment rate for students during their studies? So this will allow you to know if you can get a part-time job, and if so, you can get a part-time job, what are the chances of you getting a part-time job while you study? You could also maybe ask if they know what type of jobs are available in the part-time field of studying. You could also ask, do you work with the province or local labor groups to develop programs and courses that align with their needs? What is the employment rate after graduation? Is the employment that the graduates get related to their field? Does the program I'm interested in have a cooperative? And if so, do I need to get the cooperative, or does the school identify the cooperative for me? You should also ask how many students have successfully gained employment within that cooperative while they were going to school. Also, a little side note I'm just going to let you know is that I find a lot of international students don't really know or not explain these two things. And they are that, first of all, any work done in a cooperative while you're going to school does not count as Canadian work experience. So if you're planning on applying to the Canadian experience class, your work experience within the cooperative will not count. As well as, a number of students do not know that they cannot exceed the cooperative hours of whatever their in-class attendance time is, right? So for example, if your class takes 420 hours, and that would equal maybe a year of teaching, then your cooperative cannot be more than 420 hours of work. And if you exceed that, you might actually get in trouble from Immigration, Refugee, and Citizenship Canada. So ensure that your cooperative is not longer than your in-classroom instruction. As well as, there are also some questions and research that you can do independently. So not just relying on the college and agent to help you, you can actually look up some information yourself. So this is a third way of finding information. So as an international student, you could research independently and look up questions such as, what is the city I'm going to live in like? What is the cost of living? What is the weather there? Will I live on campus or will I not? What is the mode of transportation that the city currently has available? How will I move about the city? You could also ask, what types of volunteer clubs do they have? And there's so many more things that you will want to know. And as you research, you will find yourself asking more questions. And that's a great thing, because the more you know, the better off you are. So let's get back to our friend Paula, who is extremely interested in childcare. And she has researched a couple colleges in both Ontario and Manitoba. And based on her answers and the questions that she asked from above, based on the answers she has received from the agents, the colleges, and doing the research, she has chosen Assiniboine Community College in Brandon. So let's review why she chose Brandon. First of all, cost. She found that the cost of tuition was slightly higher at ACC in Brandon than it actually was in Ontario. But the deal breaker was the cost of living when she compared the city that she liked in Ontario to that in Brandon, Manitoba. She reviewed such things as transportation and rental cost. I actually have clients who came to me after they were in Canada and have said, we chose the college because it was cheaper in Victoria, but they cannot find jobs or anything that kind of corresponds with what they're studying. So in the end, they wish they actually would have chosen Winnipeg, which I was trying to encourage them to do after they came to see me, because I know that they could get jobs that are related to their field. And that would not only help them offset the cost of the slightly higher tuition, but again, it would give them Canadian experience for their journey. Paula also looked at other things, such as what the college would expect of her. And when she looked at the English language expectations, she understood that the college in Brandon really want her to succeed. And although lots of students think that a CLB of 6.5 with no band lower than a 6 is difficult to achieve, what Paula did realize was that in order for herself to move through the courses and without difficulty, that she would need to know English and which language it was being taught. So she felt it was fair for her college to ask for a higher standard of English. And therefore, that would set her up for success, not only in class, but when she tried to find a job out in the community. She also looked at the community itself. And Paula also found that Brandon had a settlement office within the city and also had an amazing settlement website that she could rely on. And this gave her all the information that she actually needed. The city of Brandon is pretty small compared to the city of Bagé, where she came from, but she read it was very safe and walkable. She thought the city was brilliant, and she felt like the community wanted her there as an international student. And finally, the most important part of all, she started with the end in mind. She looked at the job demand for her work during her studies and immigration potential to that province if she did decide to stay. So during her research, Paula learned about Manitoba, and she learned that the provincial nominee program in Manitoba had a high demand list and that the occupation of early childhood educator was on that list. Given this and Manitoba's international graduate pathway, as well as the number of jobs available to her, she was confident that if she chose to stay, that her immigration chances would increase dramatically. As well, given the high number of vacancies this occupation has, she knew that she would have a good chance of landing a part-time job within a childcare facility or as a home childcare provider while she went to school. This would then or could lead her to a potential job nomination, which is required by the province of Manitoba for immigration to this province. Lastly, having this job would give her the Canadian experience in her field that so many international students crave and desire when they graduate. But unfortunately, they do often correlate that having a part-time job during their studies that relates to their major could really help them and be beneficial. Well, I really hope that this case example assisted you to visualize why it's important to ask more questions than an agent's ability to get you a visa, because at the end of the day, where you end up immigrating in Canada and how prepared you are will determine your experience either for worse or for better. That is up to you to decide, my friend. The power and choice to do the work before you arrive is up to you and only you. Well, that's a wrap, my friends. Short and sweet as always. I appreciate you taking the time to learn more about the Canadian Prairies and information that could be important to you on your immigration journey. I will leave some links in the show notes for you that relate to this podcast. Also, do not forget to download your Canadian Immigration Goal Worksheet at 100thMeridianImmigration.ca/goal. Or if you're an international student, we got a do-it-yourself guide also available on our website at 100thMeridianImmigration.ca. Both are great resources to help you work towards your dream of immigrating to Canada. If you're interested in learning more about this topic in this episode, would like to receive more information about life on the prairies or further immigration career tips, then connect with this Canadian Prairie Girl, immigration at 100meridian.ca. Until next time, my friends, live rural, live well.
And the road still winds through this prairie sunrise. Got mountains to my left, wheat fields to my right. And I will roam these dusty country roads. I've been searching all this time, and I think I'm almost home. Just live.